The Milwaukee Bucks are coming off a playoff year, but only because 8 teams from each conference were required to make the playoffs. It has been a long time since there was much excitement over NBA basketball in the Brew City, but as Mitch Tyke reports, Milwaukee fans have recently been floored by a basketball-related art exhibit.
The week before the Milwaukee Bucks opened their training camp, the team invited fans to a special RSVP event to get them fired up about the coming season and about their new look. The gala was at the stylish Milwaukee Art Museum, a perfect venue because the new look they were unveiling wasn't the team's revamped roster, it was the Bucks' redesigned court.
And these two young men will unveil the court. Let's go, guys. All right.
The floor's design is inspired by the iconic court the team played on from 1977 to 1988. It was a brightly colored playing surface designed by the pop artist Robert Indiana, who is best known for designing the U.S. Postal Service's even more iconic Love Stamp. Longtime Bucks broadcaster Eddie Doucette says the court at the old Mecca Arena was like nothing that came before or has even come along since.
The Robert Indiana concept was nonpareil in my mind. I don't know what could have been better at the time because we had an old building. We were trying to make it an attractive, exciting event for people, and that floor did it.
The Robert Indiana floor came along in the middle of a rebuilding phase for the Bucks after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar left for Los Angeles and Oscar Robertson retired. The Bucks stopped playing on it when the rebuilding went literal and the team moved out of the Milwaukee Exposition Convention Center and Arena, Mecca, into the newly built Bradley Center in 1988. The Robert Indiana floor found its way to a high school where it was used for a few years and then put into storage. And that's where it stayed until 3 years ago when a Milwaukeean named Andy Gorzalski got a fateful message.
I receive an email from my friend. It's a link to an architectural salvage site. Everyone knows I'm a huge Bucks fan, so he jokingly says, "Hey, you can buy the Bucks floor now and put it in your backyard and shoot around." So I click on his little joke, and lo and behold, it's Robert Indiana's Mecca floor on this listing. It was sort of sad to me in a lot of ways because it just said, use gym floor.
Gorzalski wasn't the sort of person who could easily afford to shell out the full cost of a historic basketball court, so he sent out some feelers to others in the community. He ended up getting connected to Gregory Kohler, the owner of a Milwaukee company that makes gym floors. Kohler stepped in and bought the floor. He died not long after tapping his son Ben to figure out what to do with it. Ben Kohler says the answer wasn't immediately apparent.
And so that was kind of like my call to duty. And that led me to moving back to Milwaukee and beginning the process of like, what do you do with a 7,000 square foot, 40,000 pound piece of pop art? Because it's no longer, you can't use it functionally as a basketball floor anymore. So we have this big, huge painting, and where do you put it and what do you do with it?
At first, Kohler and Gorzalski imagined reconstructing the court in its entirety and displaying it on a floor or an enormous wall somewhere. But then Kohler approached designer Jeremy Shamerwitz, the co-founder of a Milwaukee firm called Flux Design, and the two of them tried to figure it out.
And we started talking about, you know, what happens if this form, you know, what happens if this piece was actually designed into an architecture? What if we built a building out of it? It would be a four-story building. What happens if we put an art gallery in it, maybe a tea house? And that's when it hit, and I kind of turned to him and said, you know what, Ben, I think I realized something. The problem that we're having is we keep looking at this as only a floor.
So the newly formed Our Mecca group laid out the floor at the old arena one last time for a fundraiser to bring the court back as something completely different. Now, 45 panels from the floor are individually encased in steel, displayed vertically, and arrayed in the exhibit's first incarnation as a giant question mark.
We got the opportunity to go on that floor a few months ago when it was fully assembled and literally look at all the pieces. And really what we came up with was, why don't we pick ones that get different pop between them? Different color palettes, different, you know, shapes and forms. So some are the reds and the yellows and the orange. Some have some of the letters that pop out. So we're really getting your eye to play around. So as you move from the piece, from panel to panel, the form itself changes. And it's almost kind of like putting a puzzle piece together.
At ground level, people can poke their heads between pieces of the floor and see and even touch Robert Indiana's artistic creation in an entirely different light. The question mark arrangement is only visible from above, but the first installation was at Milwaukee City Hall, which has an 8-story atrium. Shamerwitz is considering how the panels will be arranged at the next installation, the Bradley Center lobby. Meanwhile, the Bucks' current and past focus on art is a welcome development for one of the team's rising stars, fourth-year center and artist himself, Larry Sanders, who says the original floor set a good precedent.
It looked like if I was an opposing team and I was going to that floor, I'd be like, oh, man, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night because it looks like, you know, whoever's playing on that floor is night in and night out is ready to work. I think that's kind of what they wanted to portray this time.
It's also a welcome development for fans who are starved for good basketball and for signs the team is trying to connect with the community. Andy Nelson is a lifelong Bucks fan who came out to the new court's unveiling.
As a huge Bucks fan I'm 28 years old, so for 28 years, has not always spoken to me that they've been invested 100% in this community, but the fact that they're being genuine about it means something.
In the end, the Bucks are hopeful history repeats itself. The incoming basketball commissioner, Adam Silver, has said he thinks the Bradley Center is not up to league standards, and so the team and Milwaukee basketball fans hope the new floor helps the push for a new arena. Otherwise, the Bucks could be courted by another city with aspirations of basketball artistry. For Only a Game, I'm Mitch Tyke in Milwaukee.
To see photos of the old Mecca floor's amazing transformation from playing surface to art exhibit, please visit onlyagame.org. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. We had help from Eugene Amatruda at WNPR in Hartford, Connecticut. Our intern is Zoe Sobel, and our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To see photos of the old Mecca floor's amazing transformation from playing surface to art exhibit, please visit onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from Forbes magazine youth sports blogger Bob Cook, who shares an Epicurean predilection.
What I have for breakfast is the same thing I have almost every morning, which is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I just love peanut butter. It's the greatest thing ever.
Greater than pesto? Really? Greater than peach cobbler? I feel a little peeled. Thank you for listening. I'm hungry. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. The Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.